afternoon, everybody, and welcome to A Progressive Life. Let's go over to the phone lines. Hey, Doc Feinman, how are you doing?
I'm here, I'm doing fine, and I'm thrilled to see that Stephen Breyer is going to retire
from the Supreme Court this
summer.
That was the first thing I was going to tell you because I knew you'd be happy about that.
I am so thrilled. So at least we'll get a Democratic appointment because next year we don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
So I think it's a real plus, and I'm very happy that he's realizing the significance that he needs to leave at this stage in order to not have an even more conservative court.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel bad that he was kind of pressured into it, but
I don't think it's really pressure. It's simply that he had an ego that he said, I'm not going to die on the court. Nobody knows when they're going to die. So I think he showed arrogance, and actually he turned me off when he said that. Because when you're in your 80s and you're in a position of that kind of authority, it's time to face the fact that it's time to leave.
Yeah, and you and I are not young guys, but we know well enough that the end is not that far away, and we have to take care of business, and he was not taking care of business.
Yes, because it's not like, you know, like for instance, you work basically part-time, correct?
Right, yeah.
And I work part-time. That's fine. You can do that for a long time. But when you're in a position on the Supreme Court, it is time to leave when you reach that age, because you've been on the court by the end of this year by, 28 years. It's certainly enough time. The old-time record's 36, but 28 is enough. If he was younger, then I'd say he could stay a few more years, but you know, only a few justices have been in their 80s, and really, even if they're still fit, it's time to move on.
And everybody knows that, you know, even the youngest of the judges could die tomorrow. We all know that, but the chance of him passing is a lot greater, I would think, than Amy Coney Barrett or whatever her name is.
Well, yes. Yeah, I must say that that I am happy to see that the likelihood is his replacement, nobody knows for sure, will probably be a black woman, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, federal district judge in D.C., cool, who is now on the Court of Appeals, or denominated for it. So I think, you know, it's a good thing to move in that direction as well.
What do you think, just because you brought D.C. up, what do you think the chances are that we will add Washington, D.C. as a state?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Say that again?
What do you think the chances are that we will add Washington, D.C. as a state?
Not the way it stands now because of the makeup of the Senate, because it's evenly divided. I don't think that's going to be possible. But honestly, Washington, D.C. is big enough that it should be a city. It should be a state and have two senators and a House member.
Well, it's bigger than a couple of states, population-wise.
Yes, it is. That's correct. There's a few states that are smaller.
Yeah.
Now, it's true the area is small, but that has nothing to do with it. You don't go by area. You go by population.
Look at Rhode Island.
Yes. Well, Rhode Island actually is not as small in population. It's really Wyoming and South Dakota and North Dakota.
Well, I'm thinking
of the other ones that are smaller, you know.
I was thinking of
Rhode Island is small in land, yes,
yeah,
but it's not as small in population as, you know, as D.C. But yes, I definitely think, I also think Puerto Rico should be a state.
I do too.
But they would be Democratic states, basically, we think. So that's why the Republicans would never go along with it.
Now, what is the process of adding? I went through, and you went through, adding Hawaii and also adding Alaska, but I don't remember what the process was. What is the process of bringing?
Well, the process is, of course, that the state has to, or the territory, I guess you call it at the time, had to vote they wanted statehood,
yeah,
and then sent it to the Congress, and the Congress takes action on it, and they did that at the end of 1958 for Alaska, coming into the Union January 3, 1959, and then 7 months later, Hawaii joined, and I think there were some people who said, but Hawaii is not even connected to North America. True, but so what?
Yeah.
You know, and Alaska, of course, is separated by Canada. I think Puerto Rico certainly would have a few members of the House because they have enough population, and Washington, D.C. would have the equivalent of what Wyoming and, as I've said, in North and South Dakota have. But again, it's a political issue. You got to realize that in the 19th century, as the West was being settled, the Republicans had control, and they decided they were going to indeed create, two Dakotas, even though the population was tiny. It's still small, and therefore, because not always there have been North and South Dakota members of Congress that are Democrats, but usually it's Republican,
right.
And so they would trying to, you know, fix it for themselves. But God forbid the Democrats should have that chance. The Republicans play hardball. I've always said Democrats do not, and they got to get tougher.
Yeah, that's one of the problems the Democrats have, is that they don't
play nice.
Yeah, yeah. Now, would the filibuster come into play on a decision like that, or is it just a 50% or more?
I think, I'm not sure because it's been so long since 1969.
Yeah.
I think that it could be done with 50 votes and Harris voting, you know, to break the tie, I believe. I'm not certain. But the thing is, who says that, you know, the Sinema or Manchin are going to join?
Yeah, that's true. Now,
it's so unreliable. However, if you alienate them too much and they say goodbye to the Democrats and become Republicans, then the Republicans take back the Senate now. So that's the other side. You can't criticize too much. They have to have the right of being independent, which every senator does have. But it is frustrating when you have only third time in history, an evenly divided Senate.
Now, you know, you brought up whether it's fair or not.
Life isn't fair.
Nothing's fair. Now, I had a dream last night. My puppy dog must have been licking my face or something. But I had a dream.
I hope an ice cream.
it was an interesting dream that somebody was screaming at me, freedom, we need freedom. So I woke up and I thought, yeah, there are a lot of people that scream, we need freedom. But there is no such thing as freedom, period. There's if you're an animal, there's no freedom. There are rules that you have to go along with, even in nature. Let alone, okay, if I am going to give you total freedom, that means I can come into your house, shoot your wife, rape your daughter, and do whatever I want to.
It means chaos and anarchy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I just don't understand this BS about give me freedom.
Well, there's a lot of people who may be grown up, as you say, they're adults, but they're immature. They have not learned that the life is not just me, it's also we, W-E, and that we all are part of society, we all have responsibility to each other, even if we don't know each other.
Now, I think I saw on TV yesterday, one of the states, it was either New Hampshire or, I think it was New Hampshire.
Live free or die is their motto.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their silly, live free or die, yeah. That's been their motto since, I think, the 1950s.
Is it still?
They are the one New England state that is not that liberal or democratic. They often have gone Republican. Their governor is a Republican, for instance. And their race there for the New Hampshire Senate this year is going to be very close. It's a Democratic senator, but facing. So, I mean, it is true that New Hampshire's always had that libertarianism element.
Is that still their...
officially, that is their motto, live free or die, yes.
I'll be darned.
We're not talking about people being in jail. We're saying freedom, yes, in a general sense, but that also means you should not be discriminated against and you should not have other people not caring about your health just because they don't know you.
And
therefore, you get vaccination and you wear a mask.
And what is freedom? I mean...
chaos. Yeah. It means everybody out for themselves, and that is not the world as it existed. As it exists, and it certainly doesn't exist in any other country. Even in Europe, they're much more responsible, as a general rule, of course, they're individuals who are not, about being socially responsible. But only in America we have this greed and selfishness, and me, myself, I have so many people who really show they haven't matured yet, they're not grown up, they're not adults.
I can't imagine any civilization being free. Totally free.
Not totally free, no.
Yeah.
Of course not.
And
there never has been one.
Yeah.
Freedom also has responsibility. So you can be free in a broad sense, but you have responsibility to other than yourself.
And we have so many people right now that are of the religious ilk.
Yes.
Christian. And they're saying they want this freedom. But Jesus didn't allow for freedom.
Yeah, but they want freedom, but they want to impose their religion on
others,
right, like an abortion issue.
Yeah.
They want to impose their idea of how women should act, that they shouldn't be able to be equal with men, that they want to be able to discriminate against people based on race, as Christian churches, Catholic churches did all through the ages in this country. And they had no problem claiming they were following Jesus, and that they were not following Jesus.
Well, it's pretty simple to follow Jesus. All you have to do is go to the New Testament and throw the rest of the Bible out. Of course, that'll leave you Jews out of it, though.
Well, you also pulled the Old Testament out, but the point is you got to follow the teachings of Jesus,
yeah.
Which is love thy neighbor as thyself, and also treat people with dignity and don't promote discrimination or mistreatment.
Read all the parables, read the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll tell you what, you can live a good life.
But if somebody really follows Jesus, they would say he's a liberal Democrat.
Yeah, they would. Absolutely, they would. They might even say that he's a little socialistic.
Oh my God, communist. People don't know what communism is. They don't know what socialism is. The ignorance is unbelievable.
Yeah.
They also don't know science, or they don't care about science. They have their own theory about everything on science, rather than following science and medicine. And of course, science and medicine is not perfect. Nothing is perfect,
no.
But I'd rather rely on a scientist or a doctor than people who have no background or no knowledge or no understanding of science.
One of the complaints that a lot of people, anti-vaxxers and people like that, are throwing up is that Dr. Fauci has changed his opinion. Well, that's what happens in science.
As you gain more information, you change opinions. Every one of these people saying that has also changed their opinion
Absolutely.
Over time on different issues.
Yeah.
But the facts decide that you change your so-called viewpoint. I wouldn't call it always opinion. As time goes on, it becomes more than opinion. It becomes knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to talk, since you bring up about vaccination, yesterday I blisted, I guess you could say, Robin F. Kennedy Jr. For his being involved in this anti-vaxxer rally in Washington, D.C. So if you want, I'd like to read some of what I wrote.
I would love to hear that.
Okay, Robin F. Kennedy Jr. besmirches family name and compares vaccines to Nazi Germany and Anne Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., for the sake of his famous father, New York Senator and Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, is clearly a mental case who espouses conspiracy theories against all vaccinations, including COVID-19. He is also against masking and has no concerns about the loss of 860,000 Americans in the 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic. He spoke at a rally in Washington, D.C. this past weekend alongside other nutty, wacky conspiracy theorists who promoted the death cult, clear and simple, the death cult. And Kennedy had the goal to compare vaccines to Anne Frank, Nazi Germany, and the Holocaust that killed 6 million Jews in World War II. Additionally, he has claimed that all vaccines cause autism, which has no scientific validity. What could be more reprehensible than to compare a life-saving vaccine to mass murder by the Nazis?
Jeez.
Kennedy has no shame, but even his wife, hold on a minute, I'm just going to read. Even his wife, actress Cheryl Hines, his third wife, by the way, has openly disagreed with her husband's lunatic viewpoint, and one can expect that RFK Jr. will soon be divorced yet again. He also disagrees with his mother, who's still around, of course, Ethel, and most of his siblings about the assassin of his father in 1968, Sirhan. Sirhan taking the lunatic view that Sirhan did not murder his father, a shocking and totally disgusting assertion. RFK Jr. seems to have elements of mental illness, and meanwhile he has besmirched his family name, and one can be sure his own father would be shocked and would repudiate his renegade son.
Hmm. Absolutely. I watched his little speech that he had, and I just could not believe that was coming out of a Kennedy's mouth.
And by the way, he's making money on the anti-vaccine. They always make money.
Of
People
course.
Say, oh, the one sword. Yeah, of course you make money with vaccines, but the anti-vaxxers also make money.
Absolutely. They get all those donations from people that want to agree with him. I don't understand it. So
it's crazy, but he's got a name. He besmirched his father, who could have been president if only the tragedy hadn't occurred.
Yep.
And I don't think he would have. Of course, at this age, he would be 97 or 96, so I don't know whether he'd be around and whether he would comment, but I don't think he'd be pleased at this, I don't think, because you can't know for sure, but I would not think so.
Why did he not think that Sirhan was the murderer of his father?
It's not clear, but he just believes the evidence is not clear, but I think the evidence is very clear. He was trying to get Sirhan pardoned, or released, not so much pardoned, released by Governor Newsom, who refused to do it because the Kennedy family, including Ethel, the widow, do not want him. Because people say, well, what about Reagan's attempted assassin? The difference is Reagan wasn't killed.
Yeah.
Same with Gerald Ford, the two women who was shot at him, but didn't harm him. But there's a difference when you've murdered someone. I see a difference there.
Well, it's kind of interesting. There were dozens of people in near proximity of Sirhan Sirhan, and they grabbed him.
Yes.
And they grabbed his gun.
Yes.
How in the world can he deny that Sirhan Sirhan was the...
I'm just going to say that he has had alcohol and drug problems, as many people, especially famous people, but even other people have. So I think his mind is not normal at this point. But, that's the way he is.
Yeah.
But he does damage because people will think, his father would have agreed with him. We don't know, but I cannot believe his father. Certainly his mother does not agree, so I don't think the father would have agreed if he was alive today.
I don't either.
And he'd be probably a former president. It would be such an embarrassment. Even in death years ago, it's still an embarrassment to the Kennedy family.
It is. It is indeed. And, he doesn't sound like his father. He doesn't look like his father. I was surprised when I saw him. I hadn't seen him before, so...
He also has a vocal problem where his voice is not very... That's something he can't help. Some kind of a vocal issue
I've read
about, because he does sound strange when he talks. He has a weird way of speaking. But that I'm not criticizing him for. That's just a physical problem that he has. But he's not a happy person, The thing is, he was young when his father died. I think it may, it's anything. If you lose your parent, particularly through violence, whether you're famous or not famous, it's got to have an impact on your psyche.
It does, absolutely.
And that's sad, so I feel bad for him. But meanwhile, he is being detrimental in what he's doing now.
Yeah, and the only reason why he has a public soapbox to stand on is because of his name.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with his... ability, is intelligent, anything like that, because apparently he's, I can't imagine he's not a bright person his entire
family. Well, actually, he's an environmentalist in his past. He actually, look up his background.
Right.
He's been very involved in the environmental movement. So years ago, he was seen as someone who really was making contributions, He was, but lately, he's just gone off the deep end with this whole thing about vaccinations, and now particularly at this point on the assassin of his father.
Yeah.
So I think he has had problems, but if you look back, it's not like his whole life has been horrible. No, actually, it's been quite productive, not on the level of his father, of course. Very few famous people have children that are as famous as them, and who cares? That's a burden to carry. But I wouldn't say that he had not accomplished anything, but now I think he's losing his reputation.
His family's
reputation.
All those people that were waiting for JFK's son to come to a life down there in Dallas, maybe they just got it confused and it was this guy.
Well, I think so. It's just crazy. And they're still waiting for JFK and his son, too.
Boy. There are some weird people in this world. Hey, I wanted to apologize to you, by the way, for the ad that I put out for our show today. I put a picture of me smoking a cigarette. The reason
why... Well, you look good in the picture, but I was saying, you smoked? I've never smoked in my life. Never. How long did you smoke?
Oh, about 12 years, something like
that. Well, have you ever had your lungs checked?
It's been so long, I haven't even thought about it. I quit smoking in 74 or 75.
Okay, so it's a long time ago.
Long.
But I'm willing to bet, without knowing, that if my lungs were looked at and yours, that you probably have some, not a big deal, obviously you've made it to this age, but that your lungs are probably not in as good shape as someone who's never smoked.
You're probably right, but don't I look good in that picture?
Yes, you really do. You really do. And you were married already, right?
That might have been just before I got married. And that was a picture I had taken for a publicity photo for some ads I was trying to get in or something.
Oh, I was going to say you could have been the cigarette commercial.
Well, I might have been trying. No, I think that was the one I had taken when I was trying to be the voice of the Indiana, believe this or not, Indiana Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, well, did it work? No.
Yes, I did get part of that. I didn't get the whole thing, but I did get...
So you're on radio or TV?
No, it was just a photographic thing.
Just a photograph, not actually on TV live or on tape or anything, no.
Right.
So you're not as famous as you could have been.
maybe infamous, but never famous,
It's a nice picture, though. I just say, smoking. That's the only thing I said in my head. But he looked good otherwise,
You know, the one thing I've always thought about that photo, and one of the reasons why I didn't use that photo in my publicity photos, is if you look at the bottom of it, it looks like I have a little roll there. And that basically what it is where my shirt kind of rolled up.
Did you?
And I did not. I was slim and trim.
How did you end up that way? I see you.
It was just a crappy photo. That's
leave the photo, not the person.
Always. It's never
that's
the
so
person.
Funny.
Hey, let's get on to some of the things that have happened this week. Talk to me about Ukraine.
Oh, my God. I said to my class yesterday, you know, it's a different situation, but I could see the possibility of steps toward, like, a World War One.
It's scary.
Oh, my God, except now it's so much more dangerous.
It is so much scary.
It's scary as hell, and I'm not sure quite how to handle it, but I think it'll be a bigger crisis worldwide than any war since World War II, more than the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, or anything else, because this is upsetting the balance of Europe. It's not it's not somewhere else. Not that somewhere else doesn't matter, but it's different because Europe has been so stable in the age of NATO and the Cold War, which finally ended. But now I'm really worried. I really am worried. And we have Tucker Carlson saying, "What do we care about Ukraine?" It gets me. How can a person who says he's a conservative?
Yeah.
How can someone who says he's a conservative, and supposedly likes the Republican Party, he's so pro-Russian when the Russians have always been attacked by the Republican Party more than even the Democrats have attacked them?
Yeah.
And of course, think about Joseph McCarthy come back from the dead from the 1950s. What would you have to say about? Now it's not Soviet Russia, but the guy running it is a Soviet KGB agent when he was young.
Yeah.
What is going on with the Republican Party? I'm glad Mitch McConnell, however, is backing Biden on what he's doing. He's forgetting partisanship. So not all Republicans are crazy, but a person like Tucker Carlson, it's a disgrace. And I'm sorry I used that word. But it is, I mean, it's beyond belief. These people don't seem to care about Ukraine having its freedom. It's also my background, because I now really believe that my ancestors came from Ukraine, which may have been Russian controlled, but that area, probably Odessa. And it's just, you know, one time my oldest son and I were talking about going back maybe to Ukraine to find our heritage, thinking about it. Well, forget it. It's not going to happen, but the point is, it's just hard to believe that he doesn't care about democracy. He doesn't care about democracy, Tucker Carlson and people on Fox News. And that's shocking.
Do you think Putin will push it to the point where
I'm praying not.
It's into a war.
I think Biden's standing up strong to him. I don't think Trump would have. I think if Trump had been there, he would have had nothing to say about it and would not have worked with NATO. No, I really think that we're fortunate, whatever happens, that Joe is there. But the question is, what is going to be our involvement? Are we really going to send troops in? Are we going to actually be involved in real war? Or what are we going to do? And how much loss of life will there be? And it's a nightmare. It's actually, I think, more scary, I would have to say, looking back, the most scary situation since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That's exactly
1962. That was scary as hell, you know.
It
but
was.
Since then, other things came up, but nothing on that level, I don't think, in the last, 60 years.
This is almost identical to what was, the danger that was
going on. Actually, I'm saying this, I'm going to write a blog entry on this about the most dangerous since 1962. Just as I'm saying it to you, I realize, there are other issues that came up all along, and we were engaged in war, but nothing as dangerous and horrifying as what might happen.
I
hope it doesn't. Basically, I feel it's going to happen.
To my younger listeners who weren't alive at that time, you and I were very young at that time.
I was in college already, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were not full-fledged adults, but it was scary. It was, you know, they were having the kids practice hiding under their
which was silly, actually.
Yes, because hiding under a desk when an atomic bomb goes off is not going to do a thing for you.
And also, they said be quiet, so if you talk, they would hear you. The Russians.
Basically, it was a live shooter drill for an atomic bomb.
But now we have these shooter drills for kids because all these crazy people with guns are coming to schools and colleges, everywhere else.
And nobody,
the kids are all scared to death now because they have to be prepared for anything, anytime, like what happened in Michigan at the end of last year.
And we have no one with courage, especially in the Republican Party, to say we have to cut back on the number of lethal weapons that we have out on the streets.
Yes, and there's a case in the Supreme Court about gun rights on the subways in New York State, and I think the court's going to say no right to to limit guns. I'm sure they're going to do it by June. This court is horrendous. It is really scary what they are doing. Unless they surprise us, you never know for sure. But I think we're going to be seeing a backward turn in so many areas.
Well, a lot of people throw back in my face that New York is basically a Democratic state, and they're having the worst gun violence of all things.
Because New York City is the biggest city, so it has more violence. The state of New York, a lot of it is Republican outside the city.
And they can get their guns from outside New York State. Because you can carry a gun in many states. You can walk down the street with a six-shooter
Texas, for instance, there's no limit.
Yeah.
Florida's close to that. And I'm being sarcastic, governor is becoming more and more of a dictator, wanting to have a police force that he controls by election days. That should not be allowed. That's got to be stopped.
Can you imagine what will happen if he gets to be president? And that's what
he is scary as hell. You know, it took time to realize it. This man, I think, is a real threat to democracy and to the nation. And, you know, I think he's way more dangerous than Trump because, as they say, he's smarter. He is smarter in many ways than Trump. He scares me. Also with this idea that you can't discuss anything about race and civil rights. Yeah. He wants to make sure teachers cannot teach that. And now he wants to have things about sexuality that, you know, the kids, you know, that seem to be gay or the indications they are, they're going to tell their parents about it and it'll become public knowledge. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's really going on the attack against everything that he personally doesn't like, but that is not his job as governor to do that.
My dog Buddy is smarter than Trump.
But DeSantis has been jokingly called the Satan by some. I think he is. He really, really scares me, you know. But I don't think he's going to go all the way. I don't think either Trump will. But then we look at alternatives, the ones they talk about are Pence and Cruz. Are you serious? Oh, my God. And I remind you, my thought about Cruz is he's worse than anybody.
Well, and even Cruz's Republican friends don't like him.
Is he Graham, who's also pretty outrageous, made the comment years ago, he said if Cruz got killed or something, nobody would be upset in the Senate. That's a terrible thing to say.
It was. Well, now what's...
I don't know if he would say that today if you asked him, but that's what he said. Back 2015.
What happened to him? We used to be able to say, well, at least Lindsey Graham will tell
you. Oh, he's gone off the deep end, yes.
He sure did. What happened?
Yeah, and John McCain would kick him in front, back, and in the head if he was here. And by the way, so is Giuliani. These people were not nuts years ago. Giuliani's off the wall, and so is Lindsey Graham.
Something
they are mentally ill. I'm not joking. They are.
Yeah. Oh, my. Anyway. All right. Talk to me now. Scott said he was very disappointed in President Biden and his comment to the Fox...
He called him an SOB. That's what he used. That's the term. It's not nice. I don't approve of it. But considering the language that Trump always used, I think it's much too much made out of nothing. He apologized.
Trump never, ever
apologized for anything.
Yeah, and I pointed that out to
Scott. We're not perfect. He shouldn't have done it. He's got to be more careful. But he apologized within an hour. It's not like he just didn't, you know, it's going to be ignored.
Well, you and I are on the radio, and occasionally you and I have said some things that, whoops, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, that's why I said SOB. Just maybe you shouldn't say either, but that's what he said. You know, it's terrible. I don't think it's right, but he's human, but he is a decent person who, when he does something he knows is wrong, he apologizes for it, as every one of us has done in our lives, everyone.
I loved my mother and father dearly, but my mother would say to me, I'd use the word... hell. And she would say to me, don't say that word. And I would say back to her, it's a four-letter word, and only people that make anything out of it are people like you. Nobody else cares that I say that word. I don't care what the word is. They're just letters strung together. So I don't know. Oh, I just got...
Well, you didn't say the F word to him, which would have been much more clue.
Yes.
I don't think SOB is such a big deal. I really don't. But I'm not saying it was right, so he's imperfect. So what's new? Who's perfect? Anyone saying they are is a hypocrite because nobody's perfect.
Well, and I think
the biggest things to worry about. I wouldn't even call it vulgar. I call it unseemly language. I don't think it's that vulgar, really. You know,
it doesn't even bother me slightly. So,
not really. I mean, I was saying, wow, you did that, and I'm glad he responded. But you got to realize that Fox reporter is always out to provoke.
Oh, always, yeah.
They all are. So once in a while, anybody can just say enough is enough, and they spew forth what they want to say. But I think he'll be more careful now.
And he thought he was not on. He didn't think he was live.
Well, one thing is when Joe Biden was vice president, and I think it was Obamacare was passing, and Obama made a statement on it, and he was right next to him, and he didn't realize the mic was on. He actually said everybody reported. He said that's an effing big deal when he said the words.
Yeah.
So he actually said the F word, the effing big deal, and always said, oh my God, but it was an effing big deal.
Scott said, I don't know how he put it, but he was disappointed that he said that. And I said,
it's naive to be disappointed. Well, everybody, including Scott, has used language like that.
Well,
and yes, he's not a president, but again, think about Trump. Think about Trump. Think about Nixon and others. So, come on, it's making too much a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, well, it's certainly making a mountain out of a molehill. But
is that perfect? Are you I or Scott or anybody? No, so we're imperfect.
I told Scott, I said, he said, weren't you disappointed? I said, no, I was kind of proud that he said that, and I think that it just proves what a human being he is.
Yes. But he's a decent human being, one of the most decent people ever to be president, as far as his compassion, his sincerity, his empathy. Very few presidents match up with him.
And it kind of shows his honesty. He was being honest about the way he felt about the guy. And if I were him, there wouldn't be too many Fox reporters that I would even give the time of day.
Well, but you have to answer questions
yes,
from everybody.
You
and you can't refuse to.
Right.
But you have to realize some people are just out to try to provoke the person, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to control yourself. So I think he's learned that he's going to have to overlook a little bit more. I mean, but he's also, I hate to say it, under an awful lot of stress right now with Ukraine and everything else and inflation. So it's not a good time. I'm sure he's moody, as any person would be who's faced with a lot of trouble. And that's why I'm still thinking that with all the things going on and he wants to accomplish more, my belief is that he will not run for re-election. A year from now, he will announce he's not
running.
Really? He'll finish the term, open up the future, not resign, or hopefully not die, of course, but I think he's going to realize at 82, leave it to someone else, you know, really, because that's what he'll be after the election of 2024.
Yeah, and he does look like he's feeling the hard work. He walks a little bit less gingerly. He talks a little bit slower. Yeah, I think
But just imagine if Trump was there now with this crisis and everything. Just imagine.
Well,
would it be better? No way.
It would be terrible.
That's the difference. We don't have a perfect president or a perfect system, and we never will anyway. But the point is, just think of the difference.
Speaking of the biggest jerks in politics, your governor has decided to shut down monoclonal antibiotic treatment sites. What's going on there?
Well, because the U.S. government says they don't work, and he's now picking on Joe Biden for that. Because it's also shown that he has some kind of an investment,
I heard that,
some
too.
Of this, I think he's making some money out of it. I mean, the man, he needs to be pushed out by Charlie Crist, hopefully, this year. He has a chance, Charlie Crist, the former governor, who's a House member now.
Right.
And he was a Republican, then he became an independent Democrat. He wasn't perfect either, but my God, he's the best governor Florida's had in the last 25 years. That's for sure. So I'm hopeful, but he's just looking to go after Biden because he's always thinking about advancing himself. Meanwhile, his wife has breast cancer, and he takes her without mask to an open gathering, and it seems to me he's not very concerned, really, because his ambition comes ahead of everything else.
Yeah.
He's really a mean-spirited person. I'm sorry to say that, but he is.
Yeah, and it seems very clear that all he cares about is himself.
Yeah, by the way, I guess you might have heard Newt Gingrich, the former speaker. Oh, my God. He made the statement that when the Republicans, if they do win the House, they should go after the January 6th committee members and put them in jail. Can you believe that? I'm going to write about that on my blog. I didn't do it yet.
Oh, my.
It's insane.
It is insane.
If anything, the people who are involved in the insurrection, meaning the 139 House Republicans and 8 Senate Republicans, should all be expelled or not allowed to run under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and they should face prosecution and possible jail. But imagine Gingrich saying that.
Well, Gingrich was just about as bad as they come in the Republican.
And he was on the short list to be vice president.
Yeah, I know he was. Oh, jeez.
So even though Mike Pence is, I think, horrible, he's not as horrible as him. Rudy Giuliani was also on that short list.
Pence was kind of a little bit of a hero at one point.
Who?
Pence.
Well, in that one moment,
yeah,
yes. But
moment.
His religious bigotry, which is what it is horrible.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's hard for me to understand people that are that religious and how they... Where is their education and their intelligence coming from?
Yeah, well, also this whole idea that he can't have lunch with a woman, not his wife, unless his wife's there. That's insane.
Well, you know what happens if you have lunch with a woman.
I mean, why can't you have lunch with a woman that's not your wife and not go after her? I mean, come on.
And what if you're gay and you have lunch with a guy?
Yes.
Same thing's going to happen the other way around.
You're having lunch. That's about the things.
Eat the lunch. Make sure you chew 30 times. That's all you have to really worry about. I don't know. It's pretty ignorant. Anyway.
Oh, gosh.
How about... I'd really like your opinion on this. I put this at the bottom of my little ad that we talk about public shaming. And that's become a... bludgeoned of many...
Well, I'm not sure what you mean exactly, so explain what you mean by public shaming.
Saying that somebody is, a socialist. And like that's going to make other people think, oh, he's terrible. Or
because they don't know what socialism is. We have a country that is based on socialist ideas like Social Security,
yep.
Medicare, Medicaid,
yep.
labor laws, environmental laws, civil rights laws. You don't want those things? I'd ask anybody.
That's also the same thing that we say about people who demand freedom. Do you want people to be able to go out and shoot their next door neighbor because they don't like them?
Well, because they're black or because they're Jewish. We have so much anti-Semitism, anti-Asian lately, particularly a lot, and of course against Latinos and blacks. And also gay people. It's just unbelievable, you know. And this is a so-called country that says they're Christian, although we're not a Christian nation. We're a nation of people who are Christian.
Yeah.
Christians are not supposed to think that way. They're not supposed to act that way.
Of course not. I don't, I don't understand people that do think that way, but...
I don't understand a lot of people, and especially the people who don't care about health of the public, just about themselves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And meanwhile, I wanted to mention, I wrote about Joe Biden's economy. Yes, we have high inflation. That's true. But that would have happened anyway. It's not because of Joe Biden, but the stock market was at an all-time high until this past week. Unemployment dropped 2.5%. 6.2 million jobs created, the most in the first year. All sectors of the economy saw job gains. The American Rescue Plan caused unemployment to fall faster than expected. People had more disposable income. Poverty among children fell by 38%. All kinds of things. New businesses were started. The first year of Joe Biden overall was the best first year of any president in modern times.
I don't understand why that isn't... one of the things about Democrats is we tend not to blow our horn nearly as
much. Maybe that's part of the problem, yes. I think part of it is, yeah. And I also wanted to comment about the accountability of Donald Trump. Now the Supreme Court did what they did with Nixon and U.S. versus Nixon in 1974, and also what they did with Bill Clinton in the case in 1997, Clinton v. Jones. Now, in this case about that his records in the White House could not be subpoenaed by the committee, they went ahead and in the case that's going to really make a difference, Thompson v. Trump, Thompson being the head of the committee, and now they're getting the records, so they're going to be able to pursue investigation and likely prosecution. So again, they upheld the idea that a president is not above the law. That's so important. And that's including the three appointments by Trump. They all went along with it.
You know, one of the things that concerns me about all this is we're finding out so much, and we're thousands and thousands and thousands of pages we're getting. Is that not just another way that Republicans can put off everything else? By giving up all that stuff, by the time 24 comes around, we'll still be working on all that stuff.
Yes, but the case is Trump v. Thompson. I think I said Thompson v. Trump. It's Trump v. Thompson. Yeah. That's the case, as it will be known, where they handed over the, you know. So the point I'm trying to make is all the appointments made by Presidents Nixon, the ones they actually made of Nixon, Clinton, and now Trump, all voted against their president. They don't. So that's a good thing. No matter what happens with the court, they did back the idea that the president is accountable, and that's so important. But Clarence Thomas was the one who voted against it, and his wife is a big controversy because she's involved in what happened on January 6th. So he needs to leave the court, but he's there 30-plus years, and he's not leaving. But he's a real nightmare.
My wife told me that, so I started reading a little bit about him, about her, and I was stunned. She's a crazy lady.
Yes, she is.
She's just as wacko as many of the Republican leaders right now.
Yes, he's on the court more than 30 years, and he had said when he came on the court that he was going to stay more than the longest-serving Justice Douglas, 36 years, because he came on at 43, and he said he wanted to stay on to confound the damn liberals, as he said at the time. Yeah. So he's 43, so if he might stay on till he's 86. Right now he's on 30-plus years. He's going to, within 6 years, be on the court longer than anybody if he's still there. And he's had an impact. A lot of district court judges are people who were law clerks for him. So it has an impact on the whole legal system, his extreme right-wing viewpoint, and it's really scary.
Yeah, he scares me just to look at him. They do that picture of the entire Supreme Court. They pan across it, and all of them are generally smiling or at least looking pleasant. He always has that hard look on his face.
No, he's bitter because of the expose of his sexual harassment that he got away with.
Yeah, and I've heard what is Miss Hill's first name? The lady.
Who? Anita Hill?
Yeah, Anita Hill.
Yeah.
I've heard her talk about the situation way after the fact. Matter of fact, fairly recently.
Yes.
And she still sounds as credible could be.
Well, the same with the woman who was complaining about Brett Kavanaugh. But he's on the court. You know, what can I say? These people should not be on the court, but
no,
they are.
No.
It's very hard to remove them. Basically impossible.
Well, yeah.
That's why Breyer retiring is so important.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, it's not been announced officially, but it supposedly is happening. It better not be first when he's not. But I'm thankful if it's true that he does, because it's time for a replacement.
I saw it on CNN, but they didn't go too far into it, so I'm guessing.
I just hope he doesn't come out and deny it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll have to see. I don't think he's leaving until June, because, you know, because obviously it could mess up the court.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a little surprising it's coming out now, but maybe starting to have health issues that we don't know about. You know, maybe.
Well, I tell a lot of my Christian friends, if there is a God, there'd be a lot of people on the Supreme Court that would die tomorrow, and he isn't one of them.
Oh, my God! I don't believe you said that!
Anyway,
I might think things, but I don't think I would have said that. It's time for Thomas to be gone, that I'll say. And Alito also. Each Bush picks one justice that was a nightmare. Alito is terrible and Thomas is terrible.
Yeah.
And now Gorsuch apparently not putting on a mask next to Sotomayor. That's a Trump appointment. Oh, my God. What a group of people. Unbelievable, you know?
Does he not understand what empathy is?
And yet they're now denying that there's an issue. I think they're just trying to cover their rear ends, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I got a present this week. I got a chain that I can wear around my neck, and so I've put my dog tags back on. So if I get run over by a car, they'll know who I am and what
my God, don't say that.
Well, I mean, after saying things like I just said, I might get.
Well, it reminds me of Lincoln telling someone a few days before his assassination that he imagined himself on a catafalque in the East Room of the White House as a corpse. He actually predicted his own downfall. So you got to be careful what you say or what you dream. Like you said, you had a dream.
Yes. Well, hey, we only have a few seconds left.
And we'll have a good time again. Thank you so much. Look forward to next week.
Okay, we'll be calling you, or you'll be calling us next week, right?
Yes, I definitely will. Have a good week and stay healthy.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Dr. Feynman, that's the man of the hour, and boy, he can tell it like it is, or as... tell it like he sees it, all right? Okay. All right, well, we hope that you will come back on. I'll be on tomorrow from 10 o'clock till 1-something, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow. And you've been listening to Glenn Coble. This is A Progressive Life here on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr.